Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast, the place for everything you need to grow your cleaning company. If you love the show, and of course you do, be a pal, tell a friend, because who are we kidding? You've got nowhere else to be. Today, we are chatting with Jolene from Clean4U from good old Wichita, Kansas. Clean4U started in 2011, currently has 5 employees, and does both commercial and residential work. If you want to reach out to Jolene and her team, you can get a hold of them at www.clean4uwichita. clean4uwichita.com. Jolene, say hello to Cleaning Nation.
Hello, Cleaning Nation.
So thanks glad to have you on. I got to tell everybody, I have actually did a strategy session with Jolene and was so enamored with her charm, wit, and personality, I decided to introduce her to the rest of you.
Thank you.
So that said, I kind of gave you a little bit of an intro, but I'd love to hear you tell Cleaning Nation what's shaking with you and what you want them to know about you and your company before we start the coaching.
Sure. Well, I can kind of give you a little bit of my background. I started cleaning houses in high school, actually, and did that part-time through college until I got married to my husband and decided that we wanted to make it a business. He was an area manager for a large janitorial company, and so he had a ton of background in janitorial, and I had it in houses. So in 2011, we decided that we wanted to start our own company, and they've been going pretty strong ever since.
That is
trying to, anyway.
That is all. And I've heard a nasty rumor. I think you've got some kids, correct?
I do. Yes, I should probably mention them. I have 2 kids. I have a 13-year-old boy and a 9-year-old girl, as well as 2 bulldogs and a cat.
Wow. So you've got not only do you have a house full, but you do a lot of cleaning personally and professionally, I'm guessing.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's just too many heartbeats in one living space, especially when 3 of them aren't trained to pee and poop where they're supposed to.
Yeah, so right.
All right, cool. Anything else you want to share about yourself or your company before we jump in and do a little bit of coaching?
Nope, I think that's about it.
All right, you're making my life super easy. We'll leave a little bit more time to coach. What thing can I help you with today?
Well, my question, as I was working on this today, is at what point do you recommend getting a bookkeeper or an accountant? Now, I got an accountant years ago when we first started, and for the last couple of years, I've been swearing that I'm going to hire a bookkeeper to come in and do my payroll and taxes and all that. As you know, with janitorial, there's highs and lows, and I just, as of yet, haven't felt that we are ready to hire a bookkeeper. But after, you know, doing taxes and whatnot, it can be frustrating and tiring. And I'm questioning, you know, would it be more beneficial at this point to hire a bookkeeper? And in your opinion, what do you think?
Fantastic question. I like that, because a lot of times we talk about good stuff, like how to get customers and how to get the good employees. Mm-hmm. And that's all super important. But I've always talked to people that basically in any business you have, janitorial otherwise, you got to sell something, whether it's a product or service. You got to figure a way to get clients, which we talk about a lot. Mm-hmm. You got to produce it, which is, you know, whatever your product is, you got to deliver it. Whatever your service is, you got to provide it. In the janitorial space, it's mostly services that we've got to provide. And we talk a lot about how to do that because there's a lot of headache that goes into it. But the third component, which is just as big, is accounting for everything, tracking all that stuff. And we talk almost none about that. And it's super important. So we spend far less time than it merits. So thank you for bringing that up. I wish I could say I was a genius and prompted Jolene to ask about that, but that's really what you had on your mind.
Yes, it is.
All right, perfect. So congrats on that. So let's dive in. First of all,
Okay. There's
a couple different things that you want those people for. And I think it's really clear. It's really important that we clarify what the role of each person should be, so you know why you hire them first, and then it'll make the when to hire them a little easier, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So okay. The way I see it, from that space, there's three things that need to happen. One, you need to track the information, which is mostly a bookkeeper type task. You need to know how much money came in, where it came from, when it came in, and how much money went out, and where it went, and why it went there, and, well, not why it went there, but where it went, when it went out, and how much. So that's really just tracking, and that would be a bookkeeper's duty.
Okay.
The second piece is the taxes. And that would be a CPA's duty, a certified public accountant. I believe you have to be a CPA to legally file taxes unless you're doing it yourself, which I would not recommend. That's a great way to save, you know, $500 and spend $5,000. so no, I would absolutely not recommend doing your own taxes. I think that's crazy talk.
You mean year end,
yes.
Not quarterly or, you know, okay.
Yes.
And roll back.
Yeah, and I would always defer to my accountant when it came to the quarterly estimated payments as well, just because I don't want to screw that up. So the first part is tracking, which is how much went in and from how much went in, how much went out, when did it come in, when did it go out, who did it come from, and where did it go to. The second is taxes, which is literally just what's the least amount I can legally pay. Legally being huge, and that's a whole different subject. But when it goes to an accountant, for me personally, I'm not saying you should do this, on a 1 to 10 scale, 1 meaning they take no risks, you get no deductions, and you pay way too much, 10 meaning you're going to go to prison for sure. I look for a 6 or 7. I don't want somebody that just files a return and doesn't look for creative yet legal and ethical and moral ways. Do not lie, cheat, or steal on your taxes. But there are definitely legal, I don't say loopholes because that's not the right word, but legal benefits, discounts, options open to you that if you have a good bookkeeper that shows you how to set up your company properly, run your company properly, you can save money on taxes. So,
definitely. Yep.
Yeah. And that's where a CPA, I've spent 10, 15 grand a year on CPAs depending on what kind of financial situation I was in that year. You guys shouldn't run into that much, but if you spend $1,000 or a couple thousand bucks on a CPA, depending on how complex your situation is, you can make that back 5 and 10-fold. And especially you want someone to stand behind you if and when you get audited, and you do it yourself, you're screwed. So the first part is tracking. Second part is taxes. The third part is the key that nobody really focuses on, but in my humble opinion, it is the most important, which is the reporting and the dissection of those numbers. So
yeah,
the problem is neither a bookkeeper typically or a CPA are going to be able to do that for you, or certainly not properly. So the problem is you can't run your business without good numbers, and that's where the tracking comes in. So that's first and foremost. The next part is you obviously have to pay taxes. Let's assume that's handled, because that's not something that, you know, all you're really trying to do is mitigate a loss at that point. You have to pay taxes. They're due. You want to pay as little as legally possible, but you can't really increase your business or improve your business or do anything positive. You can just pay as little taxes as possible. So that's where your CPA comes in. A lot of people or a lot of business owners mistake their CPA for a business consultant, and generally they're not. You might get lucky and have one that can, but almost never is that the case. So what you really want is somebody that knows your industry. And this might be a business coach. This might be a trade association like the ISSA. This might be a larger company that you know, or another business owner that you know in town that you can trust. But the analysis of those numbers is key. So the first thing you need to do is track the numbers properly. That's a bookkeeper. The second is reporting the numbers properly. That should be a bookkeeper. A bookkeeper should be able to tell you, here's a balance sheet, here's a cash flow statement, here's your profit and loss statement. Those are the three kind of financial documents you want to review monthly in your company. I'll say it again, a profit and loss, a P&L, that's money in, money out. That's a cash, you know, how much did you make or lose in profit? The second is a balance sheet, which is assets and liabilities. That means how much is your company worth? Did your company get more or less valuable over the last month? And then the third is a cash flow statement, which doesn't have anything to do with your, well, I shouldn't say doesn't have anything, but it's not the same as your profit and loss. That's how much cash do I have coming in or out? And you can actually be making quite a bit of profit, but not making money have negative cash flow. So that's why you want to have your cash flow statement. And the smaller you are, you may not need as much of these. So if you're real small, you can you don't have a lot of assets or liabilities, and you don't have cash flow issues, you can just run off the profit and loss. As you get larger and more complex, you're going to want to incorporate the balance sheet and the cash flow statement on that. So your bookkeeper, not your CPA, should be able to create these reports for you. And of course, to get those reports, you have to have really good data going in. If you don't have good data, the reports are going to be no good. The problem is the bookkeeper, unless you've got a real special bookkeeper, most of you don't, is not going to be able to translate those numbers into actionable items for you. The CPA generally is not going to be able to do that either. A lot of times they'll tell you they can and they'll pretend that they can, but you got to understand most CPAs know taxes and tax law and tax code and general accounting principles, so they can explain to you how a balance sheet works and why it's important, but they can't tell you what your balance sheet should be compared to a healthy company. That's the problem. So the key to all this information is you want to make sure that you're using these numbers. If you just have a bookkeeper and they're just putting money in, money out, and they're just handling your tax situation, making sure that they get the right information to your tax lawyer or your CPA, that's of limited value. All that's going to do is keep you out of the trouble with the tax man. Not to say that it's not important. You got to do that. But the real value comes in when you're able to take your P&L and say, well, my rent is 7% of my gross revenues. Is that high or low? Should I work on that or no? My payroll is 46% of my gross revenues. Is that high or low? So that's what you want to do, is find, whether, again, it's through a business coach, a trade association, a competitor. You can go online. I don't know how much I trust it, but you want to know what your numbers should be so you can kind of say, well, my rent is below where it's supposed to be, so I'm fine on that. But my payroll is way over. Maybe I've got too many people. So all that to say, that was the long answer. The short answer is I would hire a CPA right off the bat. I would not enter into business without having someone handle my tax affairs. If you're just starting up, that may not be a very expensive endeavor, but you need one. And if you're, you know, running through a million or so a year, you know as well as I do, you absolutely need a CPA. So to answer your question,
yeah,
CPA right off the bat, day one. Don't even say, well, wait until it's tax season to hire them, because there's going to be, or her, there's going to be a lot of things that you can do throughout the year, depending on how you set up, if you're cash or accrual and when you spend money. And there's all sorts of stuff you can do to mitigate your tax situation. But if you go to the CPA the day before tax day, even with perfect books, he's going to say, well, I would have told you to do this, that, and the other, and you could have saved some money. So the day you start, the day you collect your first dollar, hire a CPA. As far as a bookkeeper, and this is more of a personal preference, for a cleaning company, I really would prefer people don't hire bookkeepers early on. There's a couple of reasons for that. First, they want to delegate a lot of that stuff and they get out of touch with the numbers. So if you're not generating that report and you're not watching every penny going out, a bookkeeper is going to get a bill and maybe just pay it. And maybe you look at it and go, hey, if we had paid that earlier, we could have got a discount on it. Or we don't even know that. Or they're billing us for 10 gallons of stripper, but we only bought 5, or whatever the case may be. So
yeah,
I like you as the business owner, certainly through, it depends on how well you have your book set up, but certainly through $200,000-$400,000 to be doing that yourself. Not because I want you doing $20 an hour work. I want you to do as little of that as possible, but the going through the data and understanding it and trying to figure out what it means to your company, that's $100,000 an hour work. So that's what you need to be doing. So I would really put off hiring a bookkeeper as long as you can. Once you get to be, and it really depends on what kind of business you have, right? If you're a commercial cleaning company and you're doing $250,000 a year, but you've only got 10 contracts and, you know, whatever that might be, you know, 20 employees, you may not need a bookkeeper. But if you're a residential, you do a bunch of maid service and you've got 300 contracts a month to do that, you might need a bookkeeper. So all that to say, bookkeepers really just are for payables and receivables. So if you're doing your receivables right, collecting money properly, at the first of the month, and you've got a system and a process, you don't really need a bookkeeper for that. If you've got that out of line, you're going to have to hire somebody, and then to pay bills. And the same thing, if you've got a system for paying bills, you might only have, you know, 20 or 30 bills a month to pay. And if you just pay bills once a month, just like you receive money once a month, you can really put off a bookkeeper till $500,000-$600,000 in revenue. So I guess the short answer would be hire a CPA right away. Create good systems so you don't have a lot of bookkeeping work, and try and hold that bookkeeping to yourself as long as possible, because as soon as you turn it over, you're not going to be in touch with the numbers. There's a chance that you're going to get stolen from, and the bookkeeper is never going to pay bills as aggressively as you are in terms of, is this a legitimate bill or not? So you asked the 30-second question. I gave you a 300-minute answer. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, you know, when you, the, your third point was one that, I mean, that really answered it for me, because I was kind of wanting or thinking that a bookkeeper would be the one to tell me, you know, how, not necessarily how to use my money, but, you know, yeah, is, am I paying too much in for employees or whatnot? But when you said, you know, someone in the industry as a business coach, or, you know, and that is the biggest thing. Even with my accountant, love them, but I knew that they didn't understand my industry. So even when they said they could do some of this, I just was like, yeah. But now saying about a coach, that is brilliant. I mean, I went out and thought, you know, or somebody who at least knows the industry who could do that.
Yeah. And the quick and easy kind of litmus test in terms of, is this, because the problem is people aren't honest with themselves, or often you. So you ask your CPA, hey, can you help me with this? They're billing you $150 an hour, whatever they're charging you. Their answer generally is going to be, heck yeah, I can help you with that. This is numbers. All I do is numbers.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean they can.
Exactly.
Yeah. So now you're wasting money having them do something they really don't know, and you're getting bad advice. So the quick litmus test for me, which sounds simple, but I like simple, is what are my goals and have you achieved mm-hmm. those goals? So if I want a $1 million cleaning company or a $1 million company of any sort, and I want to be making $200,000 a year, I'm going to ask my bookkeeper, have you run a $2 million company that created $200,000 a year, ideally in the cleaning business? If their answer is no, that doesn't mean they have no value, but I'm going to be very cautious as to what I listen to. If their answer is yes, well, shoot, now I'll listen to everything you got. I'll just knock off what you did. So that's the easy way for me to do it, is have you accomplished what I want? If the answer is no, I don't care if you've got your CPA's license. That just means you know how to do taxes really well. It doesn't necessarily mean you know how to run a business.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, and I'm glad you asked that, because I get a lot of people, and it's frustrating. I like to be able to say this generally because I don't like calling people out individually, but I do get a lot of coaching clients that are like, oh, no, it's fine. My CPA handles that. And I want to just choke them, because I'm like, no, your CPA cannot handle. This is the lifeblood of your business. Like, what do you mean the CPA handles that? Handles that is, are you making money or not? Like, and I'll say, what's your labor cost? What's your turnover rate? What's your year over year? Where were you at this year in gross versus last year? I don't know. My accountant handles that. Your accountant can't handle any of that. That's a business owner's job. So they'll go back to repairing a vacuum cleaner for, you know, that they could pay someone $15 an hour that's far better at them at repairing vacuum cleaners. But in terms of, hey, how's your business run and what decisions do you need to be making as the leader that's casting the vision and that's, you know, running the joint? Oh, no, the accountant's doing that. That's crazy talk. So I'm glad that you asked that, because go ahead.
No, that just totally freed me, because that's exactly how I felt was, and I struggled with, is this being too controlling as a business owner? But I never felt like, or I've always felt that even if I were to give it to a bookkeeper at some point, I would always want to know how my business is doing and always want to see what's coming in and out. So just, you know, for you saying that is our job, it just gave me a lot of clarification on that.
Cool. I'm glad it could help. And the last encouragement I'll give is, please don't hear me saying you should be spending 20 hours a month on bookkeeping. That's crazy. You should set up systems in your business to allow you to spend 5 or 10 hours a month on bookkeeping, and then another 5 hours on analyzing that data and making decisions for your business based on the numbers. So just because your numbers or your business is sloppy and it takes you 50 hours to do your own bookkeeping, that doesn't mean I'm saying you should spend that time doing that. It means I'm saying get systems so your bookkeeping is tight. So it really should not be taking you more than 10 to 20 hours a month to do your bookkeeping. If it's taking you more than that, it's probably time to get your bookkeeping systems tightened up. And if your bookkeeping systems are tight, then that's the time you might actually need to hire a bookkeeper.
Okay.
And even then, create a system. Go ahead.
I was going to say, learning how to get your bookkeeping systems tight is probably for another coaching call.
Yeah, that would be, if I could cover that in 10 minutes, I'd be a hell of a lot smarter than I am now, and I'm not. So,
yeah.
All right, fantastic. If you have no further questions, we will go to the lightning round. I'm going to ask you three quick questions. You are going to give three amazing answers. Question one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Oh, man. Best piece of advice, probably, is to surround myself with people smarter than myself. And not just that, but people who believe in me and lift me higher. And honestly, if you surround yourself with people like that, they're going to help you to be the best version of yourself.
Couldn't agree more, sister. That's well said. luckily, if you're me, it's easy to surround yourself with people smarter than you because, you know, that's most folks. okay, cool. Question number two. What's the biggest mistake you've ever made in the cleaning business? So maybe we can save ourselves some steps and some headaches and learn from your mistakes.
Wow. That's a hard one because I've made many. But, you know, off the top of my head, I think setting boundaries in my life, but in cleaning too. And when I say that, I mean, for instance, when I first started, I, you know, anybody could call me any time of day. If a customer wanted a house bid and they were calling me 6 o'clock at night, I would take it. And I learned over the years to set boundaries and have a message on our phone, unless it's an employee or a, you know, a customer, current customer who it's an emergency. I mean, at 5 o'clock, my phone goes to voicemail. I don't check my email. My employees know they can always call me for emergencies, but that's family time. And that's my time. And it helped me so much to not get completely burnt out.
That is such good feedback. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And I got to say, if you don't respect your time, your employees and your customers never will. If you respect your time, you'll find your customers do. So it's funny. You think they're going to have less respect for you when you kind of set boundaries. And in reality, they actually have more.
Exactly.
Great. Thank you for sharing that. Last one. What is the number one most actionable item owners of cleaning companies can put into practice today before their head hits the pillow to most drastically improve their lives and or their business?
You know, honestly, and it kind of goes back to what I was just talking about, is to look at your business and maybe where you don't have boundaries and to set them. It might be, you know, that you need to tell your employees and be very clear with them when, you know, they can handle certain things, because employees will try and cross any boundary you set. When I first did that with my employees and was very clear, you know, it was amazing how much more they were able to do on their own. And they knew at what point they could always call me. So really, I mean, I think it's a huge thing. I think a cleaning company, as an owner, you need to set your boundaries and kind of to, you know, talk about it earlier, but it's a huge action step, I believe, would be very beneficial for anybody.
Wise words from a wise woman. Jolene, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion and your desire to grow. I appreciate you. Cleaning Nation appreciates you. If you want to check out Jolene's show notes page and discover everything you're going to need to grow your cleaning company, go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com. You can leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.